listeners, and welcome back to another APS News Bulletin. Now, the APS News Bulletin, guys, as a reminder, is all about bringing you your weekly property news and content and making sure you stay well-informed as an investor out there in the Australian property market. Now, as a reminder, guys, as well, the APS News Bulletin is powered by Australian Property Scout Buyers Agency and School of Property. And as a final note as well, this is not financial advice. Now, guys, let's get into it. First cab off the rank, guys, and first article today to dissect is, will houses or units outperform in 2024? Article by Daniel Butkovich, property journalist at realestate.com.au, titled Houses vs. Units. The results may surprise you. And he writes, guys, that 2024 is already shaping up to be the year of the unit. So not the Chinese New Year of the dog or the wolf or whatever, the year of the unit. With unaffordable house prices, high interest rates and population growth driving buyers towards cheaper properties, more affordable properties in convenient locations, unit prices have already grown faster than house prices so far this year, according to the latest PropTrack Home Price Index, rising 2% at the national level compared to a 1.5% uplift for house values over the first quarter of 2024. The affordability of units, which are typically hundreds of thousands of dollars cheaper than houses, means that outperformance is expected to persist throughout 2024 and over the coming years, according to a new forecast. The relative value that apartments offer is greatest in Sydney, no surprises there, where your median house price is $562,000 dearer than a unit. The difference is $344,000 in Canberra, $303,000 in Melbourne, and $295,000 in Brisbane. With migration fueling growth since borders reopened in 2022, particularly in the capitals, and construction slowing, despite federal government's aim to build 1.2 million homes by mid-2029, which we know is not going to happen, the ongoing housing shortage is expected to keep unit price growth elevated. The latest data from the ABS shows that unit approvals hit a 12-year low in February, and problems facing the construction industry are contributing to price growth, according to Commonwealth Bank senior economist Belinda Allen. Capacity constraints and a rapid increase in costs are plaguing the residential construction industry, she said, and we're seeing the impact flow through to prices for existing homes and the rental market. Look, guys, in summary, and my take on this, in capital cities that have seen the greatest growth over the last 5 years, like in particular, you look at Sydney over the last 10 years, that's had a massive run. But during COVID, unit values, if anything, came back. People didn't really want to live in the cities if they could avoid it. That was one part. And then also, if they did, they weren't wanting to live in units, right? There was also a lot of demand that left from students going back overseas, a lot of Asian countries and Chinese students and all the rest of this sort of thing coming into Australia. They study, obviously, most of the time in capital cities, and they live in those units. So what we saw was actually, I think what we're seeing is a correction of it moving up. It's also extremely close. So we're talking about 0.5% worth of growth of the first quarter of the year and consolidated to your major capital cities predominantly as well. I think this is one of the things, like this article is a headline article looking at the growth, the gross market and over the whole thing. The story is a very different one out, especially in the regions, but in the smaller capitals as well. But my honest belief is that it's just playing a little bit of catch up. Those unit markets, especially in the capital cities, saw a significant lull during those periods of COVID. It's starting to make a little bit of a comeback, but I still believe that they are an inferior asset and will continue to be an inferior asset. The other big thing as well is they're talking about major capital cities here where there's a little bit of a comeback coming on, or the growth is just slightly better than housing markets. But a lot of the time, they aren't the right markets to be buying into right now as well. So, you know, when you kind of compare the growth rates, I believe at the end of this year and what we saw at the end of last year as well, even for unit markets or capital city housing markets and the growth that they're seeing in the, say, 3, 4, 5 biggest capitals in the country, I think they'll be massively outperformed by the smaller capitals, excluding Hobart, and a lot of the strong regional centers out there as well. If you look at a housing market at the end of this year, I think a lot of those markets are going to be doing 20% plus growth. So it's a good headline article. It's a good, you know, news grab for these guys. And I do believe in capital city markets from the affordability. Again, we always go back to that affordability standpoint and what is driving it, what is driving a market in a particular time. And at the moment, affordability is from a big perspective. One final note on this, guys, before I move on as well. Something that wasn't discussed too much in this article too, but it's really comes down to the construction industry and build prices having increased so much as well. New product coming on now is selling for substantially more because it's costing substantially more to actually build and complete that product. It's happening all over the country in both housing markets and unit markets, especially unit markets. More builders are falling off the perch. The builders are putting their prices up. to absorb what they the price increases that they know are going to come through from a materials perspective on jobs that might take 2-3 years to complete. This in turn is pushing up the sale of those new products, especially off the plan and things like that, which in turn is showing a, you know, showing a turnaround on this thing as well, with prices increasing from units. So I hope that makes sense, guys. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting to watch maybe how some of these bigger cities performance wise, if units do outperform houses by the end of this year. Still wouldn't be the asset for me, but again, not financial advice, just my take on it. Next article, guys, we'll jump into article two, written by Marijula Ammon and Alex Lim over at ABC News. Financial data reveals if 30-year-old millennials are worse off than their parents. So that's talking about their parents who were obviously, you know, in their 30s or 30, you know, back when they were essentially, we're talking about the baby boomers generation, guys, and their kids now with around about that 30 years. And this is a very interesting article because it drops into that time frame. And we've spoken about this a couple of times on Scouting Australia podcast around how, in my opinion, the baby boomers had it easier at 17% interest rates than what we have it at right now. And a lot of first home buyers and people starting their portfolios and whatnot do now at 7% interest rates. And it's because of the income to house price ratio and how much bigger that is now, how much higher it is, how much more we're able to leverage on in portfolios compared to what was the norm back then. So it's a very interesting article, guys, that I'll dissect here for you now. Today's 30 to 34 year olds are the first generation in more than 47 years where most people don't own a house. In the 1990s, recession pushed interest rates to 17%. Despite the steep repayments, most 30-somethings were able to purchase a home. Again, the reason for that, guys, income to house price ratios. Even though they're 17%, if the house price ratio in that area, income to house price, was 2 or 3 compared to now where it's 7 to 10 times your income, so you're making 100 grand a year, average house price now is 700 to a million, right? 7 to 10 times the average annual income of that area is where those house prices are now sitting. This is where the affordability is massively out of balance and why they were able to put interest rates to that level and not crush the housing market in the 90s. That was the level they needed to go to curb it and pull everything back. Greg Jericho, chief economist over at the Australia Institute, says today's cohort has it worse than those in recession because property costs have surged past incomes. The reality is that the cost of those loans were much smaller because house prices were much lower, but also relative to what they were earning, right? So it was much lower relative to what they were earning, Mr. Jericho says. It's not about comparing interest rate with interest rate. In 1990, the average mortgage was about 3 times the yearly wage for a 34-year-old. Now it's 8 times. I probably shouldn't get ahead of myself. I should probably just finish reading an article before I explain exactly what the guy's going to say. But essentially, guys, that's just going straight back on what I was saying there. You know, 30 years ago, even though interest rates were more than twice of what they are now, the average loan for it was substantially less in comparison to incomes at the time as well. They were in reality probably less than half. So if anything, a 7% interest rate now is more unaffordable than what it was back then. Might even do a full episode on this down the track as well with maybe even big Lukey Chusin, APS property economist, and maybe Jimmy if we want to bring him along, but breaking this down maybe in a little bit more detail as well. Now guys, final article for today is values rose across almost 90% of house and unit markets over the year, right? So positive property growth over the last 12 months for over 90% of house and unit markets over the past 12 months. This is crazy, guys. This article came out last week by Caitlin Ezzi from CoreLogic. The highlights from this article, guys, was over the past year, Australia's housing market has seen a significant increase in values, with the home value index rising by 8.9% nationally. So the entire country rising by almost 9% nationally as a growth rate on house prices. Brisbane, Adelaide, and Perth have experienced the most widespread value uplift year on year across both houses and units, with majority of suburbs recording double-digit value growth. Great news for APS clients. Pretty much most APS clients have got properties in Brisbane, Adelaide, and Perth. You've seen double-digit plus growth, and that's just as a median, you know, across the whole cities. I know for a lot of you guys out there listening, you've seen a lot more than that from properties that we bought for you. Rental values have also seen an uptick, with 94.2% of house and unit markets experiencing annual rent rise and nearly 40% seeing a rise of 10% or more. So almost half the markets in the country, guys, as a median, which means it's below average of what you guys are potentially seeing out there, almost half the markets out there saw a rise of 10% or more for rental growth. That is massive. That's awesome. So even though rents, even though interest rates have obviously done a run, seeing a lot of rental growth, which is balancing out the books, which is great to see. Perth has been the best performing capital for annual rental growth, with all markets analysed recording increases, while Hobart has seen a decline in rents in both house and unit markets. Very interesting fact there, guys. A lot of people almost see Hobart almost like another regional city. So I know a lot of people moved down there during COVID. Potentially we're seeing them move back. It's funny though to see that Perth is outperforming from both a capital growth and a rental growth perspective, when there's a lot of property experts out there that called that Perth was not a place to invest in and that you shouldn't put your money in there. And yet over the last 3 years, it has been the highest performing, highest growth and highest rental market pretty much out of the entire country. Egg on your face for anyone that called that. Despite factors like rate hikes and the rising cost of living, the imbalance between housing supply and demand continues to push values higher, with diverse growth trends expected to continue in 2024. Essentially, guys, almost all markets, 9 out of 10 markets, house and units in the past 12 months have seen positive price growth, and they're expecting this to happen again. You can see the writing on the wall with the locations and the sort of different cities and regional locations even that are going to be primed for a very similar run of growth this year, both from a rent and from a rental perspective. Once again, guys, all I can do is pretty much just go back to the episode where it all started, being the super boom, super boom, super boom. If you need more information on it, guys, when you're in Scouting Australia podcast, just go search super boom. The episode will come up. Have a good listen to that and remind yourself of what's going to happen this year and beyond in the Australian housing market. Guys, that is a wrap for another APS Weekly News Bulletin. I hope you took some great value out of it. Hope there's a little bit of additional information there that you didn't have before that you can take away, either implement or, you know, help build the knowledge base of you with your investing as well. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did, make sure you could please send this on to someone else that will also benefit from listening to the Weekly News Bulletin and Scouting Australia podcast episodes. Until next week, guys, that's a wrap for another APS News Bulletin on the Scouting Australia podcast.